Welcome back. Welcome in to the Lion's Share podcast. We're going to say sorry to all the creatures of habit out there in this world, like myself. We're day late here with the podcast for Wednesday. It's now Thursday. A day late and a dollar short, as they say. But the great thing about that is now we get some injury designations. We have a few more news that have come through the wire. So we'll get you caught up on all of that. We'll talk Lions, Cowboys, NFL Week 17, and we've got college football playoffs this weekend as well. We'll dive into that a little bit more in the next episode, but we'll touch on it in this episode. First and foremost, shareholders, we've got a treat for you. We've got Mitch back on the podcast. So it's a three-man crew once again. No duo, it's a trio once again. So, Mitch, the floor is yours, sir. A lot has transpired since we last heard from you. You're a dad now, and the Lions are kings of the North. So what have you made of the last couple weeks becoming a father and seeing the Lions get a playoff berth and take the North for the first time in our lives?
Yeah, I appreciate you guys letting me take the time off. The Lions Share podcast has a very, very generous paternity leave policy. So it's been great. Our daughter is 3 weeks old today, which is insane. Like how fast time goes. It really is like the age old adage of like time flies is 100% factual. Like, I feel like time is just like in two times fast forward, which has been hard to get used to. I was really hoping she would come into this world with a Lions victory, especially against the Bears. As we all know, that didn't happen. And I think I was starting to hit a low point at that time. But since then, as you said, Ben, we've looked a lot better. We absolutely dunked on the Broncos in prime time and capped it off with a division clinching win over the Vikings. So it's been a fun couple of weeks. I will say I'm consuming more coffee than I ever have, but that's fine. That's what we do here. Yeah, it's been great. It's been great. I'm glad to be back. Missed you guys. It's been fun to listen. Old school, where I'm kind of listening and find myself saying things on the outside. I should have called a couple times. That's on me. But yeah, glad to be back. Glad to be back and talk about the clinched Lions.
Yeah, I thought for sure we'd get a voice clip once or twice from you. Nothing, but that's understandable. And I imagine that had to be tough to bring the child into the world and have the first viewing of a Lions game be a loss. Yeah, that had to be tough. And I'm sure you considered changing the attire. You know, maybe that shirt that she was wearing was bad luck. Did you change up the shirts for the next game?
That did happen. Yes. I can't remember which one we had. We got about, I don't even know, maybe 20 Lions onesies. Which is a real shame because we're not going to get through the entire rotation before she grows out of them. But we'll get through a lot of them, and we appreciate all of the gifts we receive from everybody.
Of course, yeah. No, I think that rings true with a lot of new parents. They get too many things, whether it be clothes, toys, anything, and you just end up not using them all. But let's not make this episode about first-time parenting. We'll try to get back on the rails here, back to the Cowboys talk. I got to say something before we continue, though, and that is I do not have a lisp. For those that listened to the last episode, we're working with a temporary setup here. Tommy's on PTO. So I've got a different microphone this time, all thanks to the people behind the scenes. Hopefully this is better and hopefully no lisp, because that was hard to listen to. I'm glad that some people even listened to the last episode. And you, those are the true shareholders that made it through the last one, because that was hard to listen to.
You also, Ben, are not recording with your retainer in.
No, don't even own a retainer, just yes. For those okay. Out there, just to make it clear. Uh-huh. I want yep. That to be clear. No braces ever in my life. Great teeth. No retainer needed for Ooh, this, the oral health care that I have. So, Mitch, you've been gracious and appreciative, so I'm going to allow you to be less than that now, because that's more your style. We've been trying to come up with a nickname for Jahmyr Gibbs, and I've got it in the notes. I'm sure you've seen it, so I just want to hear your reaction to one that we've floated around, and that is Jahmyr Cribs.
I actually thought that was gold, so I just assumed Andrew came up with it.
No, that was all me. Andrew, did you come up with any while we were away?
No, I just, you know, I had my slight tweak on yours, which I was with in the camp of Jahmyr to the Cribs.
Yeah, that works too, I think. I mean, he hasn't had enough touchdowns, I don't think, to earn Cribs, but I don't know where else to go with Gibbs.
Ooh. I think you can say Cribs.
He's not a house call back yet. Like he's getting there.
Oh man, I don't know. I feel like I expect him to, like, if the ball is in his hands for more than 2 seconds, I almost assume he's going to, maybe not Cribs, but it's at least going for 20 yards.
Right, right. No, no doubt. He's at least shaking three guys. And if you're on the north side of the 50, there's a good chance he's going to get you in the red zone, if not in the end zone. So, yeah, I mean, Jahmyr Cribs, we'll see that from somebody else, I'm sure, at some point, and we'll take credit for it.
I thought he earned that when he made the fan jump there, got into the crowd.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
I thought that's when he earned it.
Well, maybe. Yeah. Well, I mean, too bad that he's had a good season, but not going to, you know, get rookie of the year. But Afedi Melifonwu had a claim this week, and that was he was named the NFC Defensive Player of the Week. And that was probably going to be our BAMS player. Andrew, did you have anybody? I know we totally glossed over that in the last episode. Did you have anybody to nominate?
I had the entire city of Detroit, in the state of Michigan, and every single Lions fan out there, you know, it's lifted. Here we go. Hallelujah. More to come.
Oh, yeah. The H word's big from you, too, and very much not a faith guy.
We can discuss it off air if you'd like to continue.
Okay, all right, let's continue. Back in primetime, the Lions are. They have not lost in primetime. That's going to be the big status that everybody
sorry,
puts out
can
there.
I give you a play? Can I give you a BAMS player? And I think you guys will agree.
Yes, go ahead.
Sheila Ford Hamp.
Ah.
Boom. Love
it. Isn't it Sheila Hamp? No, it is. Is it Hamp Ford or Ford Hamp?
Oh, I thought it was Ford Hamp.
Ford Hamp. It rolls off the tongue, even if it's not.
No, did you see her interview with Dan Miller?
Yeah, I love it. I just, like, she has been so good for the team, and it's so obvious that she is invested and cares. And, yeah, like, that's what made me say that, actually, was I caught that, and she's just giddy. She is, like, she is us. She's one of the fans, and it's just awesome to see.
No, that was real. There was nothing fake about that. That was no owner talk, coach talk. That was just straight from the heart. And I almost sent it to you guys, too. That's funny. I was sure that you probably had already seen it, but I almost sent it to you guys just because that was cool emotions. And like you said, feeling that, you know, she's one with us. Like, that was never the case with other administrations. So it's just huge. It continues to be a breath of fresh air.
Did either of you get Ricky Bobby Talladega Nights vibes from that interview, though?
That's so mean.
What do I do with my hands?
Yeah, I don't know what to do with my hands. She just kept grabbing the. I mean, I loved it. I would probably
kept the same grabbing
thing.
The microphone.
No, but that was real. Like, she was nervous. Like, she was feeling all sorts of way. You know what I mean? Like, she was feeling some type of way. Like, it was just loose. It was raw. So I wouldn't have it any other way. That's for sure.
Loose and raw.
Well, anyways, as I said. Back in primetime, the Lions are. They have not lost on primetime. Everybody's going to be talking about that this week going into this game. But the Cowboys also haven't lost at home in 15 games. So something's got to give.
Did you see what I snuck in there, Ben?
Yeah. Is it further down?
I added it back to your point. The underdogs have won the last 8 Monday Night Football games. And this is being played Saturday, but it's technically the Monday Night Football game.
True.
So
no.
Two things for the Lions, one against.
Yeah, what's going to give, and we'll get to that in our predictions. But it's a tough place to play in Dallas, and we'll talk about that. But it is the Monday Night Football game because college football is on Monday. So ESPN and NFL have given up Monday night, and they move it to Saturday night. So the Lions are the solo Saturday game this week, and a lot of eyeballs going to be on this one because obviously Dallas always brings a crowd, and it's in Dallas, and it's Saturday night. So team's got to be ready. A couple quicker things before we get to the talks. James Houston, he's in the 21-day window that opened today. He's back at practice, but out this week. CJ DJ, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, close to ready, but he's not going to be ready to suit up against the Cowboys. Brock Wright is out, and Cam Sutton is questionable with a toe. I don't know much about the Cam Sutton thing. That just kind of popped up today. And I don't know the extent of his toe injury, but he is questionable. In other news, Chase Lucas and Trevor Nowoski have been cut from the team to make room for presumably Houston and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson when he gets back. So tough to see the SVSU product leave. I know we talked about it in the group chat, but no more Nowoski. He's been cut. Kind of sad.
I may have manifested that.
I think you did.
I have no regrets.
All right. Some more highlights about the Lions. They have not beat – oh, this is more like a low light. They haven't beat Dallas since 2013. And they haven't won in Dallas since 2011, so 10 years plus for both of those. As we said, ESPN's got this one. It'll also be on ABC, 8:15 on Saturday night Eastern. That means we get Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, the Cowboys' former quarterback, which is always great. Andrew's going to have something to say about that, I'm sure. And also Jimmy Johnson, the longtime coach, is being put into the Cowboys' Ring of Honor for this game. So there's going to be a lot of hype around this game for the Cowboys.
You mean distractions.
Ooh. AKA distractions. Yeah. Too much. Might be riding a little too high is what you're thinking.
Yes, sir. Yeah. A little too much going on, a little too much off the field stuff. Maybe not enough focus on game planning. You never know.
Okay. I'm with you. Lions are 6-point dogs on this one on the road. Obviously giving a lot of credit to Dallas at home. It's been pretty unstoppable. And we don't have the official colors of what everybody's going to be wearing, but the rumor is Detroit will be in the all whites because that's the best uniform they have for the road for sure. That's their winning formula. And Dallas going with the alternates, the navy blue tops and the white pants, but some of that might change. But I'm happy to see the Lions in the all whites. I don't know about you guys.
Love the all white.
Yeah, it's just better.
It's better than gray.
Yeah, well, that's right.
They'll be in gray against Minnesota. A little look ahead there. They're guaranteed to be in gray against Minnesota because that is number 2 of 2 for the blue helmet games.
God, just imagine how almost said a potty word, cool they would look in the all whites with those helmets on. Ugh.
I'll give you the all whites or just match that blue and just go that straight color.
A true color rush would also be amazing. Anything but gray is what we're looking for here, folks.
Yep. Yeah. We're due for some uniforms. You know, just float it out to the organization, see what happens.
Yep. The grout fit's got to go. I think they were cool once, and now they kind of ran their course. I want to present something to you guys. What do you guys think about our all-pro, presumably, offensive tackle in Penei Sewell versus the monster that is Micah Parsons? Both of these guys came out of the 2021 draft class.
Yeah, it's kind of the key of, like, what side of the ball would you rather have, right? I think they're kind of number one in their positions respectively here. I just love the way Sewell went from left tackle, because he was a left tackle in college, right? Anybody got that?
I think he was right.
Yeah, I think you got it backwards. I think he was a right tackle in college, now a left tackle.
No, he definitely plays right tackle. Decker definitely plays left tackle.
Oh, yeah, no, you're right.
I know that one's for sure. But regardless, I thought he was a left tackle in college, so I thought he made the move to right tackle, which is impressive as it is now. I saw PFF grades through the season to date. He is the number one PFF ranked right tackle. I think the offense is going to do a lot more running away from Micah Parsons and not really give him a chance, but they also move him all over the field. I like what the Lions though have built their foundation on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah. I mean, I 100% agree with Andrew. It'll be fun either way, and it will more than definitely be hyped up at some point. Like, they will definitely make that a focus, I think. It's just another thing. What's going to give, the immovable force or the unstoppable object? And it'll be fun to see some of the highlighted one-on-one pass rushes, but it wouldn't surprise me if they, in passing situations, have him lined up against Decker. I would say Sewell's having an outstanding season and Decker's struggled in some games.
Right. But even struggle, Decker is better than 90% of the left tackles out there. You know what I mean? That's just a reflection of how good the offensive line is. It's like, even when they struggle, they're still better than leaps and bounds better than a lot of these teams out there. So do you think Sewell was taken at 7, Parsons was taken at 12? You think there's any chip on Parsons' shoulder there that not that that's a something you can really compare to now, looking back. But do you think there's a chip on his shoulder being taken before Sewell being taken before him?
Maybe not against Sewell specifically, but just in general, if he's one of these guys that just like, you know, he pulls the sun god. Like, I know everyone that was drafted right in front of me, but maybe not against Sewell. That's just, especially with how well Sewell has panned out, I think it'd be hard for anyone to be like, yeah, they made a mistake.
Right. So it's also a Dan Campbell revenge game. He's played three seasons in Dallas as a tight end, of course. So there's that storyline as well. There's a lot, and I'm sure we'll see all of that between ESPN and ABC on Saturday and leading up to the game. It's going to be hyped up for sure. Let's talk about our pose, points of emphasis, keys, whatever you want to call them. I'm going to let you go first, Mitch. You've been away for a little bit here, so we'll let you get the ball rolling.
All right. It's nothing new for me or for many of us, really, for that matter. You got to get it going on the ground as soon as possible. Cowboys are allowing 115 rush yards per game. I think that's like pretty, it's bottom third of the league for sure. That's our strength. I mean, both Montgomery and Gibbs are poised to have 1,000-yard season. So I think control the line of scrimmage, control the trenches. If you get the run game going, you're going to kind of eliminate Parsons anyways. And then I think on defense, you got to make the Cowboys one dimensional, put everything on Dak and he's going to shrivel up. That's what the Cowboys do. They're going to be hungry coming off of two losses, but I think you put it all on Dak, double team CD, run the ball. We get a win.
Andrew. Yeah, I will piggyback off of that. We'll start on the offensive side of the ball. I'm with you, Mitch. You got to run it. Monty and Gibbs are top six right now. I think Monty's four, Gibbs is six right now in the NFL. You got to get those guys going. We have one of the top offensive lines as well. Make Micah Parsons chase down these guys from behind. Don't let them get in front. Run away from them type of deal. And then on the defensive side of the ball, I think if they get an interception early on Dak, hopefully we get Kirby Joseph back this week. He wasn't on the injury, I don't think. So if they intercept him early, he tosses up one of those 500 balls and Kirby comes in and steals it from him. He may revert to the Dak of last year and he's just going to be scared of it. And they could take three in a row here.
So you're talking, both of you, sounds like you're talking about a little regression here from Dak and actually seeing him in the form of Dakisha.
Oh, yeah.
All right. That's what the Cowboys fans call it when he struggles. So, I don't have anything about Dakisha in mind specifically, but it's similar to what you guys said. Run the ball. We saw what the Bills did to this team on the ground, almost 300 yards rushing. Got to replicate that. Got to look at the tape and see what they did and try to exploit that. And also demoralize the Cowboys early and often. And don't let them get started. The Lions have notoriously been a good team to bounce back with. Time and time again, we saw how good Jordan Love looked after struggling sometimes this year. He looked great on Thanksgiving. So don't let them get any hype out of the gate and don't let them get hot. Demoralize them early. And I think you can get the long awaited for win against the Cowboys in Dallas. And it'd be great to hear them break that streak, which is 15 games, by the way. 15 straight at home, as we mentioned. So, Mitch, do you see them breaking that streak with your prediction here?
I do. I've got Lions 35, Cowboys 33. I think it's definitely going to be a high-scoring affair. You know, I think it'll be fun. It'll be a shootout. I think it's going to be really stressful. They just have to do – they have to – I think on our keys, our pose, they have to execute those. Which they know that going in, but it can be done. The Lions can beat Dallas. I know they are, 15 in a row at home is insane. The Lions can do it. And just imagine that if they get it done in Dallas and you're riding that into the playoffs, ooh, I mean, it's only up. We're only going up from here. Lions 35, Cowboys 33.
All right. I've got a little bit lower scoring. I think you're right. It's going to be stressful. I don't think there's any way around it. I think it's going to be hard to watch if you're a Lions and a Cowboys fan alike. It's just going to be a back and forth and it's going to come down to the wire. I just don't see it going any other way. I would love to see a Lions blowout, but I just don't see it happening. I've got Lions 24, Cowboys 23, a little bit lower scoring for me. I'm just kind of being a contrarian here. And I think this is a huge opportunity for the Lions to get a W. I mentioned it a couple weeks ago. I said if this team can beat the Cowboys, I think that's a huge chapter mark in the rebuild that this program has put together between Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes. I think this is a feather in your cap if you can win this. And going to be a lot of chatter in the media if you get it done here in Dallas.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys. I did get the call from Dan Campbell this week. This is the diaper game. He said, go ahead, throw it on. You never know when you're going to need it, but we're going to need it this week. I got the Lions winning, as always, 35-31 over the Cowboys here. And you're right, Ben. If you can get a win in Jerry's world, it really sets the tone and it knows you can travel in the playoffs as well. This is a great playoff environment here. We got two playoff teams facing off here. If you can beat the Cowboys this week and get them to three straight losses, they come into the playoffs with such a negative connotation, they could get knocked out early. So this is the opportunity for a big one and build a lot of momentum going into the playoffs. This is also the true test to see how well the Lions Den travels. And we'll see how many fans we can stack up here because they've been doing it all year. And in Jerry's world, to pack that place would be something else.
Diaper Dallas. I like what you did there. Mentioned it to you, Andrew, I think several months ago when I considered changing my flight to go through, route it through Dallas and hit this game up. Until I saw the flight prices and the fact that all the Delta flights were booked, they were sold out. That's talking months ago. Obviously, if you flew in Friday, you could get in still, but Saturday was all locked up. And if you wanted to go, I think Delta actually put an additional flight in here between Dallas and Detroit to get fans here. So there was an opportunity to get one. I just didn't jump on it, but it was expensive nonetheless. Even if you could find tickets, they were expensive. So I'm hoping that means we've got a lot of fans from Detroit heading down there to Dallas because going to need them in this one, a hostile environment.
Sounds like at least a few 747 full.
Exactly. And I mean, you get a couple hundred people on each one of those, and not counting the ones that drive and the fans that are spread out. So I think we've got an opportunity for a big win here. Speaking of big things happening, we've got the playoff picture. With the Eagles losing and with the 49ers losing, leaving the door open for the one seed. So the Lions need this to happen if they want to get the one seed. They need to win out. They need to beat Dallas and beat Minnesota, and they need the 49ers to lose one of their last two. They've got the Commanders and the Rams through the 49ers. So don't think the Commanders are going to get it done, but I'm hoping that, the Detroit Rams can maybe help us out in the final week if the Lions take care of business. If not, they would be the two or the three at this point. It's locked into that. So it's looking more and more likely that they'll be the two. But I'm hopeful that they'll still get the one because a bye week would be huge. All right, let's talk about NFL Week 17, unless you guys have anything else about Lions, Cowboys, or playoff picture.
Just can't wait. Excited for this weekend.
Yeah, most excited we've been this late in the season in quite some time. I'm also a little excited because I've extended my lead over you, Mitch, in the records recap. I went 11-5, Mitch 9-7, Andrew 10-6. That puts us at 159-83 for me, 154-88 for Mitch, and 140-102. Andrew, you've eclipsed the 100 loss mark.
Do I get another jacket for this one?
I think we'll probably all be close. It'll be close if we hit if we all get over 100. And we've got 2 weeks left. That's 32 games, I believe. So we'll see. The guy from the Sporting News, I've passed him. He's 158-82. So that feels pretty good too. Let's start things off with tonight here in just about an hour or so. We've got the Jets and the Browns on Thursday Night Football, Amazon Prime. 39 degrees and cloudy, but a 60% chance rain. Could be rainy in this one. This is Joey Flacco's revenge game against his old team. I see this as none other than the Browns.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is it me? No, it's Andrew.
Definitely muted.
Oh, yep, that's on me. Muted, got me. Yeah, I'm going to take the Browns. We're at home. Jets haven't been doing well all year. They snuck one out last week, but that's about it for them. Give me the Browns.
I'm with you guys. They're just going to keep riding the Flacco magic wave, and until he throws more than like three interceptions, I think the Browns are just going to keep winning.
Brings us to Dolphins at Ravens, 1 p.m. game here. Ravens just beat the Niners, big W for them, coming into another big game. They're at home for this one, though. I'm going to take the Ravens. They've been playing some tough ball, and I think they're just wearing their hard hat right now.
Yeah, excited for this one on 1 o'clock on Sunday. With the Lions playing on Saturday, we'll be able to just focus on this game. Should be a good one. Dolphins off of a win versus Cowboys. Ravens off the huge win against the 49ers. Opportunity for maybe a letdown here for the Ravens, but I am going to say the Ravens keep it going. And they're wearing their purple pants, so how can I go against them?
Riding with you guys again, I've got the Ravens. I think, Ben, you said it. Both coming off big wins, but I probably honestly would have given this to whoever was at home. That's the Ravens.
Yep. Patriots, Bills, who cares? The Bills care because they're still trying to make the playoffs. But 1 o'clock on Sunday on CBS, 36 and cloudy. I think the Bills learned from their loss against the Patriots last time in Gillette. Now at home, give me the Bills.
I'm gonna zag here. I'm gonna take the Patriots. Jesus. They're on the road. They're not going far. I think Bill Stop Belichick talking. Is playing some pouty upset football.
Yeah. Okay. This is maybe why you've eclipsed 100 losses. But I've got
he's
the
trying
Bills.
To make up some ground.
Bills can clinch the playoffs this weekend. They seem to have figured it out since they fired their OC. I don't know that a heater is the way to describe the Patriots.
Big dub, Bell. Oh, man. Falcons at Bears. This one, I don't know. What do you have to say about this? I can't pick the Falcons, so I'll take the Bears, and hopefully they get a worse draft pick.
Bears.
Yeah, I've got Bears. I had Falcons. I saw you guys put Bears, and then I saw it was 37 degrees, and I've got Bears. It seems like a very Bears thing to do, Andrew, to your point, to just play themselves out of a higher draft pick. Although it doesn't matter because they obviously have the Panthers. So, go Bears.
Yeah, this could be a Falcon victory for sure, too. It just I don't know what to do with this game.
Were a few of those. Like, did you guys think that going through here? There's a few games where it's just like, ugh, who cares?
Well, and it's like, yes. Who's going to really be playing week 17? We've got a lot of backups in this week, and there's no snow, which is unfortunate. Still hoping for a snow game. Maybe this one sneaks into some snow.
Yep.
Titans, Texans in Houston, 1 o'clock on Fox. Stroud looks like he's going to be back. He is out of protocol, back at practice today, trending in the right direction. No official word yet, but it sounds like he's going to play. If Stroud is playing, give me the Texans. They need to get a win here.
Exactly that. If we don't have Stroud, I'm taking the Titans.
Yeah, I think I roll with the Texans no matter what. I think the Texans figure it out. Ben, here's a question for you. If you live in Texas long enough, do you think you would turn into – not do you think you – if you had to, would you be a Texans or a Cowboys fan? Andrew said he thinks you'd be a Cowboys fan.
Well, that's simply not true. He knows me better than that. It's obviously the Texans, and they're in the AFC. That's a little bit more acceptable than an NFC foe.
Got it. So Texans are your number two team. Okay, go ahead.
Absolutely. Andrew, you got this one.
Stunned him. Stunned him when I reported what he said to you about you and the Cowboys.
Yeah, I also got me on the mute too. Raiders at Colts. I've got the Raiders. They're playing hard football as well. Not much more. The Colts are slipping. I think they're kind of realizing they might be out of it, and the Minshew magic is over.
Yeah, as you can see, I don't have something written down here, so I'm just going to have to come up with it. This was tough for me. I really like what the Antonio Pierce and the Raiders are doing, so it makes me want to take them. But the Colts, I don't know what to do with them. They're another team that should be in the playoffs. All they had to do was just win some games, and now here they are struggling. So I'm just going to go with my gut and say Colts.
Yeah, I like the Colts. Again, I probably would have leaned towards the home team, which is what I did here. Also, the Chiefs' defense is good, so let's not discount that. But the Raiders' offense is bad. Bad. So I think the Colts can edge them out here at home.
Yeah, before we move on, did I hear that O'Connell didn't complete a pass in that win against the Chiefs?
I think after the first quarter.
Yeah. Definitely the second half he didn't have a completion. I think Mitch is right. It was after the first quarter. He had one before that, but he didn't have many total.
Okay.
Did you watch that at all, Andrew?
Oh, yeah. Watched a lot of it, but I had heard that stat, and I started thinking back, like, did he? You know, it was kind of one of those things.
Every time the Raiders were on offense, it felt like it was for 5 seconds, and then the Chiefs had the ball for forever, did nothing, or turned it over.
Turned it over.
Yeah.
Yeah, quite sure the Chiefs led the time of possession.
Yeah.
Panthers versus Jaguars down there in Duval. Okay, nobody's going to go with me. Okay.
Duval.
I was going to try to. I think this is our last opportunity Duval. To do that this year. So, 1 o'clock, CBS. Duval. Another quarterback that might be playing.
Duval.
might not be playing. And that is old Sunshine, Trevor Lawrence. I don't know what the deal is with him. He's got a shoulder now, too. Regardless, 60 degrees and clear in this one, should be good weather. I'll take the Jaguars.
Yeah, did you see who they're playing? Of course we're taking the Jaguars.
Well, if we want to talk about teams on heater, then why don't you call the Panthers on heater?
What's wrong with you guys?
Look, I'm just playing the game that Andrew's playing.
Duval.
Yeah, I think it's Jags. Jags have something to play for. They can clinch this weekend as well. If you're the Panthers, just stop. Just stop. Go. It's Jags have to get it done. If the Jags lose this weekend, they are the frauds of the season.
Agreed.
My God, is it me again? Rams at Giants. Tommy benched the Italian magic, whatever you want to call it. I don't even know if it was that. Just maybe like a lucky coin you find once, you had a little bit of good luck. That's over. The Rams are just making their playoff push now. They're tightening up the bench. So built Rams tough.
I loved everything about what you just displayed. I've got the Rams.
Yeah, I'm with Andrew.
Battle of the Birds in Philadelphia. Gannon, the ex coordinator for the Eagles, now head coach of the Cardinals, going to be going against his former team here. I think that gives them a little bit of a bump, the Cardinals, but I think the Eagles are big at home here. Big winners.
Yeah, this one's easy for me. It's still the Cardinals traveling a long way against a good team. Go Birds.
So, Eagles?
Looks like you've got Eggles in here, actually.
That's
well, I just wanted to make sure where Andrew lands.
Yeah, only one team calls themselves the Birds.
I think it's Eagles. I think they get back on track. Eagles have a easier run to end the season for sure. So, and I think they get two in a row to end the season out.
Yeah, I think if this one was in Arizona, I might change this, but Eagles home. Saints, Andrew, sorry, that one's yours.
How many did you set me up
I was
for?
Gonna say, I don't think he cares.
I feel like
gonna be on, so we didn't have a cue for Mitch here. Otherwise, you know,
crazy. I mean,
we're still copying and pasting from last week.
Mitch, figure it out. Saints at Bucks. I mean, what can you say? Is this the battle for the division here?
Correct.
Yes.
Is this do it?
Yep.
All right. Well, Baker is baking a cake right now. He's in the kitchen. I think they're finally going to sit Derek Carr down and eliminate him.
Behind the woodshed style. Buckaroos for me. Bucks.
Buccaneers. Baker's having a really good season. Saints are just butt cheeks.
49ers, Commanders, would love to see a Commanders victory in this one. If you're a Lions fan, this one, 1 o'clock on Fox. 49ers are going back with the gold pants, so Mitch is going to love that. Jacoby Brissett is in for the Commanders. And after, I think, coming into the game last week to replace Sam Howell. So he's going to start. 51 degrees, partly cloudy in this one. No way, shape, or form do I see the Commanders winning. So I'll take the 49ers with a huge bounce back after the loss to the Ravens.
Well, had I known that they were going to wear the gold pants, I'd pick the Niners twice in this game. Christian McCaffrey ruined a lot of people's fantasy playoff hopes last week. I think he's going to continue his run and just be dominant and make his vie for MVP of the league.
Wow. Yeah, it was. I'm picking the 49ers, obviously. Was I alone in that? Was I alone with the gold pants? Andrew, it sounds like you're on the same page. The white just didn't look right.
I don't hate the white pants. I kind of like it as a switch up, but it just doesn't look right with the gold helmets on.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I was going to say. You have too much. You got gold helmets, red jersey, white pants, and there's not enough red, or like the stripe on the side of the pants isn't big enough to have like a redeeming quality. Just stick with the gold pants.
Yeah, they all tried to be primaries there.
True, it was a battle.
I'm assuming this is me again. Steelers Steelers in Seattle taking on the Seahawks. This is a 4:05 game here. 80% chance of rain. Bring the ponchos. Don't buy the ones at the stadium. You know you're going to get hosed on the price. I'm going to take the Hawks at home.
Great advice right there for any listeners in the Pacific Northwest or Steelers fans traveling out there to Seattle. I don't know why you would if you're a Steelers fan, but I like the Steelers with the rain. I kind of think that favors them. I don't like that it's at home for Seattle, but it just feels like a sneaky, sneaky game for the Steelers who just came off of a win.
Yeah, Ben, I don't know what you're talking about. It'll be egg in my face, but the Steelers just had to rely on their receivers to get that win. I think this definitely favors the Seahawks. It's at home. The fans don't care about the rain. They'll still have a good showing. Walker's going to have a good game. Seahawks also can clinch this weekend, so I think they're playing for a little bit more than the Steelers are. I think Seahawks figure it out against the Steelers, who I believe also are frauds.
Yeah, I think I'm going to regret this one, but if something in my brain tells me that the Steelers are going to win, and it's just going to be a weird game, and it should be an obvious Seahawks win, but Steelers. Let's go over to Mile High. This one got interesting this week. Chargers at Broncos, 425. Stidham, more like Stardom, he's going to be the starter for the Broncos. Russell Wilson has been sat, as you all probably know. Russell Wilson likely played his last game for the Broncos. So it's Stidham's season now. 43, mostly cloudy. After the Stidham news, I am going to actually switch mine to the Chargers.
Crazy. I'm going to stick with the Broncos in this one. They lost to a bad Patriots team last week. They've had a lot of stuff go on off the field, but I think Sean Payton's cleaning the swamp over there, and he's taking care of business. There's a lot of talks. It was like contract. He was guaranteed another $37 million if he got hurt. So I think they did that for contract reasons. So I think Sean Payton still has the team, and they're going to get the dub.
Yeah, I think I'm with Andrew. I think you're exactly – it'll be interesting to see how the Russ situation unfolds. I think Sean Payton clearly hates him, but it's definitely driven by – I think you said it, $37 million or something like that. So I've got the Broncos here. It would not surprise me if Sean Payton gets a little loose with it just to prove a point to ownership and they put a hurting on the Chargers.
Ooh, see, I think he drove a wedge into that locker room with the move. I think it's going to hurt the team overall. And
did
I
you
think
happen
Chargers...
to see a clip, Ben, where Russ scrambled outside of a very clean pocket, like a situation where you climb the pocket? He gets sacked, and three offensive linemen look at him and don't even attempt to help him up.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about, and I'm wishing you didn't bring that up.
Too bad. So sad. Your pick sucks bad.
Yeah, backups get more respect than them. We will roll over to Bengals at Chiefs. Chiefs are struggling. We talked about that. What do we got? 35 degrees, clear, 10-mile-an-hour winds looking like. Ben's got written down. This is a must win for the Bengals. I would say this is a must win for the Chiefs as well. So I will take the Chiefs in this one.
Yes. Andrew's so good at this.
I think you're wrong, Andrew. I don't believe I wrote must win for the Bengals. So just for the record, Bengals 0-4. They're wearing their all whites. They're 0-4 in these this year. So recipe for Chiefs victory, I think.
Fooled again.
Ben definitely wrote must win for the Bengals. And I think for every single reason Andrew said, everything that came out of his mouth, including his breath, he is correct. It's Chiefs.
Nice. Packers Vikings. This is big implications for the NFC playoff picture, but a lot has changed about this game. We've got TJ Hockenson, ACL and MCL injury last week. We hate that. It was against the Lions. We hate that for him. Jair Alexander, a hilarious clip. If you look it up, he was suspended for a game here due to leaving. Well, not leaving, but going
due
out.
Due to being a moron.
Yeah, like, being a moron. Correct. And doubling down on it with the press conference afterwards. I think he could have saved face if he just didn't sound even more stupid when he did the press conference. I think he could have saved it there and maybe escaped a suspension. But after that, not a good look. We've got Karen, a.k.a. Jaren Hall, at quarterback, rookie for the Vikings. They are going to go with him in this one, and it's going to be 21 and clear. So I'm going to take the Packers in this one, but we'd love to see a Vikings win to eliminate the Packers from playoff hopes.
Yeah, that whole Jair Alexander news was crazy. Is he the same guy that walked down last year against the Lions? They were going to kick a field goal, and they've called it dead, and he, like, walked down the line and grabbed the ball. That's not him?
No, that was
That wasn't Quay Walker.
Wasn't it Quay Walker?
No, he's the one who cried after he pushed the
correct.
That's assault. That's assault,
that was,
brother.
That was a different guy.
Okay, was it? Okay, I was thinking that was the same person. Then it may have been Jair.
Yeah, I don't know. A lot of idiots on the Packers as of late. Maybe that's why their franchise is going down the toilet. Who's to say? And speaking of toilets, I got the Vikings beating the toilets this week. They both took a lot of injuries, but I think the Vikings are going to hold out a little stronger.
I believe it's the Packers are going to get it done. I believe it was Rasul Douglas. I think that's who it was. I do love picking on Quay Walker though. The whole Jair Alexander thing is hilarious to me because the clip felt fake afterward. Like it felt like they were interviewing like a seventh grader playing rocket football. Like the whole defer thing where he obviously doesn't know how it works. I said defense, but like, what? Of course. What do you mean? Like, dude, you went out there to represent your team like unsolicited as a captain, and you don't even know the rules. Maybe stop talking. But the whole thing was hilarious. Despite that, I think the Packers are going to win. The Vikings are just too, they're just too beat up. I would also love it if next week the Packers had a chance to get in the playoffs and the Bears just demolished them in Lambeau. So I'm holding out hope for that.
Agreed. I'm looking forward in the schedule. I looked at that. I thought of that possibility too. Dreamt of it, really. But Jair, yeah, I don't know if you guys saw a couple weeks ago when the Packers were trying to, they were looking a little bit hotter. He said they were going to win out, and that was like with 8 games remaining. So this is kind of par for the course for him. And he always wears those sunglasses too. Which
it's the same dude that also like just took a blatant shot at Jordan Love in the offense to start the season. And it was like, it's clear the defense can't allow any points. So
that's the same guy. Yeah, it is. You're right. Good memory. Wow. And it was also hilarious that he was like, oh yeah, my teammates backed it up. They know I'm from Charlotte.
Yeah. Congrats.
Well, I don't know. And if you Google it, it says he's from Philadelphia. So that's weird too.
So funny.
I'm sure he's got some connection. All right. That's it for week 17 in the NFL. No Monday Night Football because of college football taking place. Speaking of college football, we'll talk more about that in the next episode, but Mitch, I don't think you're going to be here for it. So any thoughts on Michigan versus Alabama? Like, you feeling pretty good for Michigan here? Or you think the Crimson Tide got a good shot here?
So I think it'll be a good game. I don't have a great feel for it, to be completely honest. I think it's going to – I don't know. I think it'll be a good game. I think Michigan's playing for a ton right now, potentially Jim Harbaugh's last season. I can very much see Jim Harbaugh just dipping out because he's got to just be so sick of getting picked on by the NCAA. I mean, the line just keeps creeping down and down and down. I think it started pretty high. It's worked its way down to Michigan minus 1.5. Over under is 45. So if I was a betting man, I would probably take the over and Michigan to cover, but I think it'll be a fun game, close game.
I did not know it got all the way down to 1.5. It was last at 3, I think, the last time I saw it, and that was a couple of weeks ago. But you're right, it has been dropping. I think it was up maybe minus 6.
I think it started minus 6. Yeah, I believe you're right. And it's just been creeping. I honestly, after the Michigan reaction video came out, I think it dropped a full point.
Yeah, I think you're right. And then the other side of it, Washington, Texas. Anything about that?
I am getting on to take the over right now.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're right. But Texas, man, they got a good defense. I don't know. They could potentially silence Penix in that one.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't think Washington's seen a defense the likes of Texas, so might be wrong there. Well, we have to bring the college football expert on Sunday. I think that's what we're gonna do with the Lions playing on Saturday night. Andrew and I will talk about this off air, but I think we're gonna hop on Sunday before the completion of a lot of those games on Sunday and just talk about Lions Cowboys and bring the college football expert on to talk about these games that take place on Monday. In other news, the Pistons have officially lost 27 straight. That's tough. God. That's really tough. And, tomorrow, the 30th, they play again. And, that will be their last opportunity to get a win this year, this calendar year. And it'll be against, I don't know who it's against, but I think it's a winnable game. I think maybe it might be against the Nets again.
Ben, just very quickly, Andrew, I don't know if you saw this. I sent this to you on Instagram, Ben.
Yes.
Andrew, did you happen to see anything about this infographic that's like the worst single season records in all four major sports since 2000? Did you see that at all?
I was dreading what you were going to say when you started talking about, have you seen this? Because I have seen it and it's depressing.
I don't think it's fair at all. It's just like, it's the Lions, the Tigers, the Wings, obviously. And then they're just like 23 Pistons on pace for 5-77. That feels a little unfair.
It was so unfair.
The Pistons, what do you mean? They're going to figure it out. Like,
you imagine seeing that? Like, hey, man, we win one. We're stringing them together, you know? Fuck. Oh, yeah. Little Tommy, get out of vacation.
Yeah,
they started the year 2-1. That's the worst part.
It's so depressing. And for the listeners that don't know what I'm talking about, this is the worst single season record since 2000. 2008 Lions 0-16, 03 Tigers 43-119, 2019 Wings 17-49-5, and obviously the Pistons are on pace for the worst season of all time. But it's tough being a Detroit fan for sure.
Yeah, that's a nice depressing end to the show. Andrew, I got nothing else after that. Just give us the you know what.
Hey man, that's why our crime rates are so low right now. We've never been happier. Meow.
Duval.
Let's go Lions.
Meow.
Yeah.
But, do I sound better? Do I sound like I have a lisp?
Oh, you sound far away.
Are you faking it?
No, it's on. I'm not faking it.
That was crazy. I'm with Mitchell.
It's so bad.
It's that bad, huh?
It's bad.
I don't know what it is. Like, I can't do anything. There's no settings on here.
Don't ever say Lions in this podcast.
I just can't use the letter S.
It's bad.
Lions share.
Oh, that wasn't bad, surprisingly. Oh, my God.
I don't get it.
That took me on by surprise how bad that was.